You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Chof Hei, and we're in the middle of this tremendous sugya about the comparisons of Kli Cheres to the other Kalim, which as a group we call Kli Shetev, because they could be put into a mikveh. And the assertion of the Mishnah, now we're getting into all of the dinim and the Gemara with the Makoros and the Pasuk, the assertion of the Mishnah was that a Kli Cheres is essentially a mirror image of a Kli Shetev, because a Kli Cheres cannot be mekabel tuma at all by touching it. So no matter where you touch it, it's not the touch that's going to be giving it tuma. The only way it can be makabel tuma is by tuma entering its airspace. And I shouldn't say airspace, because it's really its space. So that the Kli Shetev is exactly the opposite. If you have something hanging in the space of the Kli Shetev, it makes absolutely no difference. It has to actually touch it. And then that touching would be anywhere, outside, inside. That's completely irrelevant. So it's essentially a difference between space and touch. The way that the Mishnah brings it out is very open. The Braita explained that it's a question of Avir versus Gabo, which is an easy way of saying it, because Gabo wouldn't be possible to airspace. What it really means is Benegia. We're going to get into the greater subtlety of Negia versus space today. So that, let me just remind you how we began, because today we have to continue from where we began yesterday. So the way that we understood yesterday, the Kiddush, is that the Kli Cheres would be mekabel tuma from anything that's in it. And the only way that we know this is from the comparison that's made in the Torah with the word tocho. And the word tocho appears twice in one pasuk, once in reference to being mekabel tuma and once in reference to exuding tuma. So it says, kol Kli Cheres asher yipol mehem, that's one of the Shmona Shvatzer, falls into the Kli Cheres el tocho, then kol asher batocho itma, anything in it will become tame from that Kli Cheres. The way that we understood that yesterday is that the kol means anything and everything, even if just hanging there. Or the way the Gemara puts it, even if there's a million little tiny mustard seeds, every little mustard seed, even the one in the middle, is going to be mekabel tuma, and that means it can only be because it's in this space. Since it uses the same tocho to talk about kol asher yipol, the el tocho, that comes the makor of the tuma to the kli, and the din of whatever is in tocho, yitma, kol asher bitocho yitma, means the Kabbalah's tuma of what is in the Kli, rather than it's giving out to the Kli, it's clear that they're both the same, because we're using Tocho in the same way. Which means that the Tocho is the modality of the tuma, whether it's in terms of giving off tuma, whether it's in terms of being Mekabel tuma. So if that's true about one, it's true about the other. That's a Gezeirah Shavah. One Tocho to the other Tocho, they're compared to each other, and it means that the modalities are precisely similar. Which means, now, in order for us to remember what it is that we're going to be talking about today, which means that we understand the usage and the need for both of those words. Because one of them is just telling me the din, that there's a halach of transference of tuma in airspace, and the other is a gezeirah shavah, to compare the acceptance of the original tuma by the kli to the exuding of the tuma from the kli. So one is needed for the gezeirah shavah, the other one is needed what we call the gufa, which is telling me what the din is. Okay, now today, the Gemara wants to go through exactly the steps that we did in every one of these Mishnayot, where we always ask, given one, why don't we make a Kal V'Chomer to the other? Because now we've made it easier in one direction, which creates a Kal V'Chomer. And so, we're up to the top of the Daf, Kof Hei, and Amalei Ravada Barava L'Rava, now that we know that din, why don't we invert it and say that every Kli Cheres should be Mekabel Tuma from touching its outside, also from Mekabel Chomer. If Kol HaKelim, look, this idea of a space being a way of transferring Tuma is an astounding Kiddush, and it only appears in the Kli Cheres. So if Kol HaKelim She'ein Mitamin Ma'avirat are nonetheless Mitamin Migaban, certainly a Kli Cheres, which is Mitame even from its airspace, Isn't it obvious that it'll accept a typical classic tumor? You touch it. Therefore, Omar Kroh, in a completely different context now, we have another place where the Torah specifies the type of kli that whose airspace is sensitive to tumah. And that's a fascinating case. That's a case of tumat hamet. Why do I say it's fascinating? Because the only other place where we have the idea of airspace similar to the concept of space is tumat ohel. Now, tumat ohel is a din that anything within the space of an enclosed area, house, box, whatever, is going to be makabel tumah from something that is betame b'meit, say kezayit b'nameit, or reviyadah b'nameit, whatever it is that's sitting in that box, or sitting in that house, or dead body, in that house, everything in the house becomes tameh, as long as it's within the same space. So now what happens if a kli cheres is in that space? The outside of the kli cheres is not going to be makabel tumah, even if it was touched. So it's not going to be makabel tumah from being in that space. But the inside of the kli cheres is subsumed by that space. So as if we imagine the tumah swirling around, so to speak, in the room, it goes into the kli cheres. Now, says the Torah, fascinating then, if there's a tight seal, which is called a tzamid patil, a tightly sealed cover on that kli cheres, then it doesn't become tumah at all, because the outside isn't sensitive to tumah, and the inside is protected by the tzamid patil. There is where we're going to find the miut for other kelim. Because the Torah says there, in the context of tumat met, v'chol kli patuach, any open container, asher ein tzamid patil alav, that does not have a tight-fitting cover on it, tamehu. Now, first of all, let's decide, what kli is that? Chol kli patuach. It obviously cannot be talking about a typical frying pan. Because the frying pan really doesn't care whether it's open or closed. There's only one kli that cares elsewhere whether it's open or closed, and that's the kli cheres, whose inside is what's sensitive, not whose outside is what's sensitive. So ezel kli shetumoto kodemet lepitcho. Where is there a kli where we have to worry about its open part? Have omer ezel kli cheres. Obviously, that's the kli cheres, because that's where it says el tocho. If anything the Torah is referring to a kli where I have to worry about it's being open, it's a kli cheres. That's a given. Now, if that's the case, what it's saying over here is tamehu. So v'chi ein tzamid patil alav hu detameh. Where is that kli tameh? Only if it's not covered. But what is it saying? If it has a tzamid patil alav, it's tahor. Why? Obviously because it is not sensitive to the outside. So we do not make a kavah chomer. Well, I mean, if even the space is matame, koshke in the outside, no. You see from here precisely the opposite. The only thing we need to worry about is whether it's open. Once it's closed, forget it. It's impermeable to tumor. Okay, so now let's reverse it. Let's say that, on the contrary, maybe the easiest way to be makabel tumor is through the vulnerable part of the kli, so to speak, its space. So that we would make a kavah chomer in the other direction. If kol hakelim are metame from even from touchings, then certainly they should be metame from their airspace. Because I was saying that's the easiest way to be mekabel tumah, because even kli cheres get it that way, right? So if you kol hakelim metame mi'aviram mekabel chomer, so let all klei shetef be mekabel tumah also from the kavah chomer. If a kli cheres she'ein metame mi'gabo. A kli cheres can only be makabel tumah in what appears to be the easiest way, from its inside. And all the kelim, kol hakelim shebetamim megaman, they are even makabel tumah from the outside, or just from touching them. Ein odin shebetamim ma'aviran. So now we should assume that for sure they're vulnerable to the avir. Omar kra, tocho. Therefore the Torah stresses tocho. Tocho means it. And only it. And there it said to Farish, called kli cheres, that's the asher yipol, that kli cheres asher yipol me'am tocho. Tocho of what? Of the kli cheres aforementioned, right? So therefore it's coming to tell me now, you should know, tocho shel zeh, velo tocho shel acher. No other type of kli will be mekabel tumah ever from its space. Wait a minute, but you used up those tochos. One of them was Legufo, and one of them was the Gzeres Shava. You can't throw around more tochos. So, Hani Tocho, Odarshino. You use them up. How can you get more significance out of them? Ah, but there's really four tochos, you see. Because each tocho includes the pronoun. Could have just said toch, but it says tocho. I'm darshining the pronoun. Tocho shel zeh v'lo shel acher, you see. So that's a whole new drasha. Ah, now you want to know, I'm sure, and what the other pronoun is good for, right? Let me tell you. There's a brilliant, this is one of the most information-rich drushes in the entire Torah. It is so marvelous. What a vav can do. It is just beautiful. So there's arba'a tocho k'tiva. Essentially, it's four tochos. Because there's each one is tocho, which could have been a toch, and a tocho, which could have been a toch, which gives us four drushes. Now, one of them, obviously, is just the Talmid Adin. That is a concept called space within a container. Wow. Fantastic. Okay. The other one is the Gzeres Shava, which tells us that the space works in both directions, whether to transfer to something in the space or out of something in the space. Fine. That's great. One, we just dashing right now. Tocho Shalzeh, only a Klicheres can do that magic. No other type of Kli could do that magic. Velo Shalacher. Okay, now here's the brilliant fourth Russia. The Chad, one comes to tell me, that Tocho Velo Toch Tocho. Aha. Only Tocho, its inner space, but not a space contained within that space. Now listen to the implications of that one concept. Because what it's clearly saying is that Afil Kli Shetef Matzil, any container that would be inside this container creates a space within the space. Right? So therefore, I now know that if I've got, let's say, a thimble of water or of seeds that is inside the space of the klicheres, then that is not going to allow the tuma to affect the seeds in the klicheres. Now, it's only where it isn't subsumed by that space, by being contained in it. So its top would have to extend outwards. Yeah, it extends outside above the other one. Otherwise, it would be completely subsumed. It would be irrelevant. Because the inner space is part of the outer space. Right? That's why we call it avir. We pretend that if the air will circulate, it has nothing to do with air, obviously, but for all intents and purposes, if gas would have circulated between the two, that's all one space. Now, so we have the tip of the top is sticking up. Fine. So now it's inside the space. You might think that that is all called a spatial, after all. I mean, who cares if there's something in the way? Kamash malan, that it's not, the inner space is not part of the outer space. But the massive chiddush of this is, since it's telling me the tocho and not toch tocho, even klishetav is matzio, then you have to ask yourself, but wait a minute, the klishetav itself should be mekabel tuma from the klicheres. And therefore it should be able to give over tuma to the contents, right? Okay. So that makes it very clear that a klishetef cannot be mekabel tuma from an avir klicheres. Now, what's the implication of that? Well, first of all, it becomes clear that a kli will only be mekabel tuma from an avah tuma, and not from a second order tuma. That's why it says, kol asher yipol mitocho mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel, but not a kli. So kli can't be makabel tuma. Ah, but now you ask yourself, but what if the tuma that's being metamed, the klicheres, is inside at the time that the klicheres is inside? Doesn't that basically fill the airspace with the tuma of the ava tuma? So you have now, let's say, a sheretz, dead sheretz of the shmona shratzim is inside the outer space. In other words, in the main kli. Right. Now I lower into the clay pot my thimble, keeping the top above it. So now the contents of the thimble are in the space, but that we say, no, that's a different space. Okay, except it's a different space. But why isn't the thimble makabel tuma from the avatuma? Because the avatuma has filled that space with avatuma. From which we understand that it doesn't work through filling the space. You might have thought it's like the tumat mate in the oil. The whole area is filled with tuma because of the tuma that's in it. Wrong. The space doesn't fill with tuma. The space simply allows for the radiation of tuma directly to the kli. Now the kli is matame by radiation through whatever is inside the kli, but there's no transference of the tuma itself directly to anything in that airspace. Therefore, the inner kli cannot be makabel tuma from the sheretz that's there because it didn't touch it. And it can't be radiated with tuma from the outside kli because that kli can't radiate off. It can only radiate from its being a reshine the tuma, and that's not going to affect the kli. Therefore, there's no way for the contents of the thimble to become tummy. Is that beautiful? One vav! My gosh. And they struggle with information density out there.
How do you know that that all works? In other words, how do you know that it's a metal cleat out there?
This is already this is a long discussion. Yeah. If it were, this Tosfos gets
so
into
they work it all
the
out.
Question of this is a question called Minoy Makriv. Right? Minoy Makriv or Minoy Makriv means when something is of the same type, it registers within that set. So if it's a kli cheres, we don't need a pasuk to tell me that. It's going to be because that's in the same set. Obviously, it's in a different space. It's a space with different kli cheres, you see. But that's how Tosfos understands the whole sugya. There's a lot of fun stuff here, but it's just one of the most pleasurable sugyas. Seems so esoteric, but it's just delicious. Okay. So, in any event, that's what we use the fourth tocho for. Tocho, lolo, tocho. Afilu kli shetef matzio. Okay, so now, given that information, I'm so turned on, I can barely keep reading. So, given that information, I'm serious. So, why don't we go back now in the other direction and say that since we have now created this fascinating, look at what we've done. Initially, we took the difference between the inside and the outside. Then we realized, wait, it's not really a question of the inside and outside. It's also a question of touching or airspace. And it happens to be that airspace is only the inside. But there may be some other issue. It may be that insides are sensitive to tuma, whether through touching or through airspaces, sometimes so sensitive, like by the kli cheres, that even the airspace will be tuma. At other times, not quite that sensitive, and they need to be touched. But outsides may be not sensitive at all. In other words, why do you take for granted that the idea of transferring of tuma would be either inside or outside, once we're not talking about spaces? How do you know that those two things aren't related? How do you know that it's not, that the inside of a kli is the place where it's sensitive to being touched? And it can be so sensitive to being touched that even if it's in the airspace, the capacitance already makes it tummy. Sometimes, if it's a kli cheres. But then, other kelim will not be mekabel tuma from the outside. There should only be makabel tuma from the inside. This is a whole different way of looking at it. But it makes so much sense, because now we don't have this contradiction in the kal v'chomer at all. It really adds up. Why turn it into a mirror image of inside and outside? Now, we understand why the Mishnah was stressing inside and outside. Because otherwise, I would have thought, okay, so it's very simple. They're not mirror images. It's just that one is a little bit more sensitive to even the airspace of the inside. But says the Mishnah, no, that's not the point at all. There's a different modality completely. And touching, what's the difference where you touch? So therefore, ask the Gemara, if this is the case, then why don't we say that lo yu kol ha-kelim mitame gama ela mitochan, all the other type of kelim, should not be mekabel tuma at all from anywhere else except in their insides, albeit benegiah. I understand, you've proven it has to be touched, but maybe only touched on the inside. And that's a kal v'chomer. Umba kli cheres. Look, a kli cheres is metame me'aviro, and it's not metame me'gavo at all. So kol ha'kelim are not metame me'aviro. For sure, they're not going to be metame me'gavan because they're much less sensitive. So you even need to touch them. Okay, but where do you touch them? Do you touch them where they are mekabel tuma, which is the inside? For that, amar kro v'chol kli patuach asher ein tamid patyalav tamehu. What is it saying? That there is a type of kli which, if there's not a tzamit patil alav it's tame, but if there is a tzamit patil alav it's tar. Okay, why does it say the whole kli patuach? Because what it's saying is, Hi, who? Tchi ain't samit patil alav tamei. Who? Hayesh samit patil alav tahor. But kol akelim bein sheyesh samit patil aleihem bein shein samit patil aleihem mitamin. It's basically telling you, look, there is such a thing as an open kli. Now, where did I tell you that it's meaningful to have an open kli? Tocho, kol asher yipol mitocho. But if you cover over the top of it, it's a kli patuach that has a tzamit patil alav. There it's tahor. But a kli that is not patuach is going to be tamei even with the tzamit patil alav, you see. Because otherwise, all you need to say is, v'chol kli asher tzamit patil alav tahor. But if you tell me, no, kol kli patuach asher ein, I mean, isn't that the meaning of ein tzamit patil alav? That it's open. I mean, it's an absurd... It's absurdly unnecessary to repeat if it's open and it doesn't have a tight-fitting cover. You just said it was open. So the open is identifying the type of kli, namely a kli cheres, which cares whether it's open or not. And therefore, when it's sealed, it can't be makabel tuma from the space of the house. But another kli, you can cover it all you like. If there's an inch of skin that's left, then it's going to be makabel tuma from that skin. Uh-huh. So you can't help its tumah by simply covering up its inside, you see? That's the point. So therefore, other kelim, kli shetach, ben sheyesh tamid patil aleihem, ben sheein tamid patil aleihem, it's always mitameh.
From the outside.
From the outside. We see there's no way to make our kal v'chomer. The Torah has made it absolutely clear that it'll always be the kabbal tumah. What's going on over here? You're not turned on enough by this, sugya? What does it take? Listening. I didn't ask if you're listening. There you go. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bidvaro. I would have thought with all of these beautiful new t-shirts and things that you'd be ready to really throw yourself into a Gemara. Okay, Zakhter Helika Mishnah. We continue on with our exciting foray into the dinim of Tumas Kelim, which of course follows all of our kutchim issues that we brought. And now we have tahor bekli eitz tamei bekli matachot. Anything which would be tahor when it comes to wooden containers are tamei when it comes to metal containers. But I should not use the word containers, by the way, even though that's generally a simple way of referring to kelim, because the whole point of this distinction of the eitz and the matachot is that we're talking about kelim as tools rather than as containers. A kli eitz has to be a container. But normal kelim, a screwdriver is a perfectly good kli. Where's the container? A knife is a perfectly good kli. Where's the container? It's only kli eitz where the Torah is makbid on its being a container, and therefore using that word is very misleading. So what word shall we use? How does Uncle Art translate it then?
Utensil.
Okay, good enough.
It's like a wooden fork. No.
There may be other issues that are involved in the way that they're used, but let's assume that not. So a tahor b'kli eitz is tamei b'kli matachot, and a tahor b'kli matachot tamei b'kli eitz. So we look forward to the braita, to making this a little bit clearer, and indeed, Tana Rabbanan, as we've done with these mishnayot, golmei kli eitz. You know what a golem is? A golem looks like a golem. It's sort of the difference between a Russian spaceship and an American spaceship. You know, that Russian spaceship has this sense of being held together with bubble gum and, you know, imperfect edges and things like that. It's like the light cruiser, the cheap light cruiser in Star Wars. So that's a golem, because it's just not really well formed. You're talking about a Swiss watch, on the other hand. Now you've got something that's completely finished. So golmei kli eitz means not fully polished up. They are, and by the way, the word in English where we use polished, where it doesn't literally mean polished, but it means it's polished in the sense of really complete and perfect, happens to be one of the issues of golmei kli matachot, is the actual polish. So the polish, without polish, it's considered to still be a golem, which is very fascinating as it's worked its way into language overall. So the golmei kli eitz are to me, and pshutei kli eitz, where there's no beit kibul, there's no space, are tahor. Whereas golmei kli matachot are tahorim, unpolished, meaning in the sense of perfect finishing. Kli matachot, metal kelim, are tahor completely, as we'll see. Should, by the way, of course, that means where it has not been miyuchad for use by your machshava. Kol hakelim yordim l'detumah v'machshava. We're talking about what is the status of this kli normally, or without its having been miyuchad for a particular purpose. Though you're now a manufacturer, you've got a line of these kelim that are coming out, they still need finishing up, and we'll see in the Gemara what level of finishing up we're talking about. If somebody now touches it with tumah, they're going to be tar. And on the other hand, a finished klicheres, a klimatachat, which is without any type of space in it at all, it's a poshut kli, is still tamei, which means that nimtza tohar b'kliyetz tamei b'klimatachot, and tohar b'klimatachot tamei b'kliyetz. Now, let's clarify to what extent we would call a kliyetz being a golem that would still be tamei. And later on, the Gemara is going to explain. And what's the difference between the two? Why is it that we are not makbid on the golem of the kliyetz? We said it's tamei anyway, but in the klimatachot, we say, no, it's got to be finished. That we'll talk about. So what defines a golme kliyetz? Well, anything that is still unfinished in the sense of it's atid lashuv. You're still going to be using a type of polituring process on it to make it smooth and polished. The Rashi brings that they used to use a particular type of plant where, you know, we do that also. We take oil from different plants. We did the teak oil and stuff like that. They had the oil that they would use to give it that nice finish. That doesn't make any difference. And for that matter, if you're going to be mishabes, what they would do, what is that Yemenite work called? Filigree, right? So this is a filigree equivalent to a kliyetz. We put on little decorative trees and so on it. And that wouldn't matter. If you're going to be migarer, you would take a plane to it to smooth down its top or something. It doesn't matter. Lekarkave is to make designs, embossed designs in it around, like you would do in a kliyetz, where you stick your fingers in it while it's swirling. Latiach betunis, if you're going to use the tuna, means literally tunis, means tuna fish, because they would use the skin. They would use the skin of the fish as sandpaper to give a fine finish to the kli, and it's surprisingly hardy, fish skin. Or if it's a mechusar, let's say it's mechusar cane or ogen, or ozen, it would be missing things that you might want to put a handle on it, but it's perfectly usable without a handle. So meanwhile, it doesn't have a base, doesn't have an area around the top. Doesn't matter. None of this really is important. The ogen is a decorative piece that you have around the top that you drink out of a lip. Thank you. A lip. So all of that makes a difference. It's still tummy. On the other hand, if it has not been properly hollowed out, mechusar chatita, then it's tahor. What do you mean, mechusar chatita? That's not what we're asking. Hapshita. And then it's still pshuta kliyetz. I mean, it's nothing. I don't understand what you need to say that. We ask what you call golem. This is not golem. This is not a kli. What are you telling me, mechusar chatita is tahor? No, I'm talking about it's got a perfectly good and usable container space. But your intent is to complete that container space to hold, let's say, a quart. And you made it so far into three quarters of a quart. It's not finished. That's not called gold. That's worse than golem. That's unfinished. And that will not be mekabel tumah, even though it's perfectly usable. That's the equivalent of the kli matachot that's unfinished. So there, even though chak kapiza pekava, you were going to make a kav, and you ended up only putting in a kapiza, you still got 25% of the way to go. That's not finished. Ve'elein golme kli matachot. And what do we mean when we say unfinished metal keli are not mekabel tumah? There, kol shatid lashuv, same way. Now, of course, I mean, we don't do it in the same way, but it's the same idea. Whatever you were going to smooth out, or leshabetz, or to filigree with little attached golden pieces, let's say. Legarer would be a much more delicate equivalent to what we said before about the kliyetz. Over here, it's smoother. And whatever you would be doing lecharcher would be what do you call that when you engraving? I guess engraving. You make little decorative pictures in it by with a stylus or something. Lakish bakurnis. Let's say there's a little bit of a dent in it. You want to bang out that dent to make it perfectly smooth. Or if it's bechusar ken, it's missing a base or an ogen or a lip or an ozen or a handle. in all of these cases, if it's metal, it's tar. But if it's missing a top, that's unimportant, because the top is viewed as a separate kli. The kli that you have, if it's complete, is mekabel tuma, despite the fact that you want to sell it with a top. It's still usable as a kli. Now, maishnahani, I don't understand. I mean, if a kli needs to be finished, then why is the kli eitz tameh? And if it doesn't need to be finished, why is the kli matachot tahor? Says Rabbi Yochanan, well, because by definition, a metal kli is a higher standard of workmanship. That's the point. In other words, if you're using a primitive kli, a primitive kli is a wooden kli. So a wooden kli, the whole point of it really is its primitiveness, so that a certain amount of primitiveness is even sometimes valuable on a wooden kli. Therefore, why would that be called mechutz or anything? Yeah, exactly. So it's a good, usable, good, down-to-earth kli. On the other hand, if you've gone to the trouble of manufacturing something out of metal, then what you're basically committing yourself to is a higher standard of workmanship, which, if it's missing all of this stuff, is just not up to par. Rav Nachman says, no, that's not the point. The point is because you've invested a lot more money, and your intent is to make money out of it. And the difference between a well-finished metal kli and an incompletely finished metal kli is high. And therefore, it makes a difference. It sort of boils down to the same thing, doesn't it? My binayo, what's the difference between them? Oh no, there's a major difference between them. Ika binayo kli etzen. The difference would be, let's say, a bone kli. Now, a bone kli is expensive. But, on the other hand, it's ivory. Not expensive. What's that?
Ivory is a bone kli. Ivory.
Is ivory bone? No, because an ivory is bedafka made for covet. The idea of bone is that it's not made like covered, but it's made for, it's expensive.
It's lasting, and it's beautiful.
No, beautiful would mean covered. Beautiful would mean covered. I think it's probably more of a...
distinctive.
Huh?
What is unique about it in this sense?
I'm not sure. But the fact is, I mean, people pay money for it, and it's expensive. You can't say like it's such a covet to use a kli like that. And we're not talking about bone china. Talking about bone. Maybe it is because of it. It could be. I would think that it's probably because of the workmanship itself that makes it expensive. People value it because of its workmanship. Some things like that. You know, Oscar jades, they were completely useless. people value the workmanship per se. You know.
Is it more durable?
It could be. I don't know. But in any event, you make more money out of it by putting in more workmanship. That's for sure. But it's not a covet. So that's the question. I mean, is it really a function of the value, or it's a function of what the kli is in terms of how people view it as a kli? So therefore, according to Rav Nachman, it would be exactly the same as kli matachot, because the issue, according to Rav Nachman, is how much money you make out of additional workmanship. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a function of not the way we would look at what's worthwhile, but simply the type of kli it is. This type of kli is, I mean, I look at it and I see an unfinished kli. I look at a bone kli, I don't, what's the difference to me, finished, unfinished? Yes, if I would want to buy it, I would look for the one with the finer workmanship. But I'm not into the work, I'm looking at a kli. As far as the kli is concerned, it's a primitive kli. So, that would be a major nafkamina between them. And in fact, we know that Rav Nachman in this would be following a shita that he holds of in general. As the Rav Nachman, the Taime, the Omer of Nachman, klei etzem kikli matachotam. He said elsewhere that bone kalim are the same as metal kalim, which implies that they're the same in terms of this issue. Gomim versus non-gomim. Wait a minute, where does it say that there are anything about kli etzim anyway? Well, how do you know that a kli etzim is a makabel tuma? Well, we don't make up tuma. Tuma is a function of what the Torah said, and it lists metals, it lists wood, it lists sack, but where does it say anything about bone? So, miklal de kli etzim, makabel tuma? Let's say you have a beautiful stone kli, stone won't be makabel tuma, because the Torah didn't include it in the list of the vermin or matani. So, where does it list etzim? Ask the Gemara, Mechalav, the Kli Etzim, and Kabbalah Tumah at all? In absolutely yes. Because, as we have in the Braita, Rabbi Shmuel Menashe, Rabbi Yochanan Bar Kol Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar, why does the Torah list
V'chol beged, v'chol kli or, v'chol ma'asei izim, v'chol kli etz titchato. When you say ma'asei izim, what are you referring to? You're not referring to the or. You just said that. You're not referring to the skin of the eggs. So when you say kol ma'asei izim, so kol ma'asei izim comes to teach me a davar haba min ha'izim, things that are made out of goats, which would include karnayim, tlafayim, and that's not a particular goaty issue either. Shar beima v'charya minayim tamud lomar v'chol ma'asei. The point over here is anything of that sort of thing. You have horns, you have a foot keratin that can be shaped, or bones. Why mention izim? Pratla of foot. So it has to be dafka animal bones that the Torah is including. Where would we make out of ofot? Says Rashi, griffin talons were used for decorative kalim. So those are not included. The Torah specified which things are called kalim. So therefore, the question would be lo malach lo maisa nafka mina b'truva d'achman and the Tanakama. Given that bone kalim are mekabel tuva, are they viewed as the equivalent of klei matachot in terms of gomim, and it's all a function of workmanship, or is it a function of value, or is it a function of the covet of it? Yes, it's not matame. Is that what you're asking? No, not if it's dry. That's why gelatin is kosher.
Once it's dry,
it's not considered to be animal anymore. If you want to chew on your pigskin wallet, enjoy. Which is why chewing gum is always kosher. It doesn't matter what the chewing gum comes from. I mean, it's the same as chewing on a pigskin wallet. Who cares? You're on.
Zokta helik
ha-mishnah. Hachayav b'shkedim hamarim patur b'metukim. Hachayav b'metukim patur b'marim. Moving all the way back around to Zerayim now. So we've continued through Kutchin, Tyrus, now we're getting around to Zerayim. And here we have two different types of shaket. Why do you say that in English?
Almond.
Almond.
Which are now fresh and pickable at Shiloh. Huh?
Well, the almonds in Barnea's neighborhood. These are two species of almond, by the way, which are well known. There are, as far as drinks, liqueurs, and so on, two different species of almond, one of which is called the bitter. I forgot the Latin name, but the Latin name is also bitter. One of which is called the bitter, and the other one is called the sweet. So whatever would be chayav in ma'aser, meaning, again, whatever stage of growth would be chayav for ma'aser, because always ma'aser is the point at which the pre matures in the way that it's most useful. So whatever would be chayav for shkedim amarim is they're only really edible when they're young, and therefore that would be the chayav period, would be patur b'metukim, because the metukim, you wait until they're mature, and then you eat them. Whereas the chayav b'metukim, when they're fully grown, that stage would be very bitter in the marim, and nobody would eat it. That would be chayav b'marim. That cyanide taste is probably not the best. Tanarabon. Ha-chayav, the shkedim ha-marim, so here we're going to define it. Shkedim ha-marim, the ktanim are chayavim, the gedolim are puturim. So the metukim, on the other hand, the gedolim are the ones that are chayav when they're mature. The ktanim are puturim, and that makes us actually have a mirror image. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shum Aviv, no, they're all puter. Or some say, they're all chayav. Now, what exactly they're all? What does that mean? Tosus learns very logically that the zeh, are puter, simply means the type that are marim are always potter. Even if they're small, they're potter. When they're large, they're potter because they're impossibly bitter. When they're small, they're potter because they're immature. And every immature fruit is potter. Okay, that's very logical. We also have va'amre zevezelechiyut. Rashi, on the other hand, it also says this is extremely dumb as far as I'm concerned. Rashi learns zeh v'zeh liftur means ktanim of both types are liftur. Zeh v'zeh l'chiyuv are gdolim of both types are chayav. So That's really weird, because I mean we're not talking about a zev zeh that was in terms of brought all the cotton. We didn't even mention brought all the cotton. In the Mishnah, all we did was morim v'metukim. That's the focus of our attention here. It's really weird to say a pshat. I mean, it's not. We weren't talking about differences in the size and the essence. So I don't really like that pshat. Okay, there's another reason that Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat from the continuation, and that is Omer Rabbi Lo Hora Rabbi Chanina b'tzipore k'divrei Omer zevezet liftor. Rabbi Chanina Paskin in Tzipore, like the Man Yomar, who says you don't take Meisr off of either of these types. And here's the problem. And Laman Yomar Zevezelik Yuv, you're going to hold. Both are Chayev. What possible use? You're telling me, Tosfos is learning, this means the mature is Chayev, even though it's very bitter. What good is it? It's all very nice to talk about maturity. I mean, it still needs to be edible. So what good is mature? Rabbi Yochanan, well, it's usable. Because you could actually roast it. And if you roast it, then you take away the bitterness, and then it becomes edible. So what's wrong with taking Meisr from a pre that is only eaten through roasting? I mean, there are lots of perot that are not suitable to eat raw. So, since it would be possible to make them edible, so mamela, that's called also a kli. So again, points out Tosfos, if you're asking gedolim lamai chazu, according to Rashi, it should have said the gedolim marim, particularly my chazer, because I mean, according to him, he's talking about both mitukim and marim. Rashi is saying that's what we're referring to. The large, which large? Am I asking Kasha the large? What are you going to do with the large? What are you going to do with the large? They're delicious. No, I mean the large that are marim. Well, you don't even say that. According to me, that's the only thing it's referring to. I'm saying zevezer lechiyuv, meaning the bitter ones, even when they're large. Why? That's a great question. What are you doing with the big ones? Which ones? The only ones I'm talking about, the bitter ones. So that's another reason why I think my pshat is more reasonable, says Tosfos. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit, because until now what we've been talking about are two items that are mirror images. Now we're talking about two stages of the same item that are mirror images. So it's similar to what we've been doing, but it's a little bit tighter. So let's take a look in this Mishnah at two issues that have stages. One thing that has stages is the process of temed, making temed, timut. What is temed? Temed is the original badatz wines. So what happens is they're not really wine. I think nowadays they actually have real badatz wines. But it used to be what they would do is they would buy the leftover lees from wine that were sold by the real wineries. They would put water on that, get the taste out of it, and they would actually add what they called spirit, which was always a problem in kashrus, but then that's the main issue today on the alcoholic drinks, is that the alcoholic drinks are not really native alcoholic drinks. They all have spirit alcohol added to them, which is really an adulteration, in my opinion. But in any event, that's the problem. The source of that can be anything. And therefore, you might have problems because the source can also be grape. What happens is, after a certain amount of time, not only the taste gets into the temet, but the temet itself starts to actually ferment. If there's enough in it of the original product, it starts to ferment. So here, we have a stage in which, for all intents and purposes, it's just water with a little bit of taste in it. And then it starts, because the process of fermentation, the yeast that gets into it, it changes it into something else, changes it into a type of wine that we call temet. Obviously, there's different dinim. In one stage, it's going to be water. One stage, it's going to be wine. What's the big difference between water and wine? The greatest place to look for a difference is in a mikvah. Because water that is in a container, if it's added to a mikvah before that mikvah is complete, it ruins the mikvah. Once the mikvah is complete, you can dump water and do whatever you want. But if the mikvah doesn't have its arbonim saw, and it's chaser from its arbonim saw, if you add shlosh aludim of water that's in a kli, that ruins the mikvah. You can't make it kosher anymore. So if you throw in temet into that mikvah, what was the temet? Was it water or was it wine? That depends until what point. There's another difference. The other difference is, if it's wine, of course, you can buy it with kesev maaser. If it's water, you can't spend your Meister money on water, okay? And of course, those were in the days when water wasn't more expensive than wine. Maybe nowadays it's the ultimate drink. But so nobody would have thought it would cost more for water than it does for a liter of gasoline, right? Okay, so it literally is. I mean, I think a liter of cold water is more expensive than a liter of gasoline. It's insane. So, in any event, I mean, think of all of those dinosaurs, my God. What a cheapening. So there we've got a way of contrasting the two halachas. Then we've got another sugya, and that other sugya is the concept of estate ownership. Estate ownership is actually a fascinating in-between stage in which the estate, and nowadays also that's true, there's a concept called the estate. Doesn't matter how many heirs there are. And once they split, then they become separate owners. Even if they get together again, it's just a company now. But it's a shutafu, it's a partnership, but it's not an estate. So who cares? Well, there's very major differences in terms of the halacha. And two of these differences are easily contrasted, and they become mirror images with each other. And one of them, a little bit arcane, one is very straightforward. The one that's straightforward is the question of whether it's considered to be a partnership vis-a-vis Ma'aser Behima. Partnerships are part of Ma'aser Behima. Estates are chayav in Ma'aser Behima because they're not viewed as partnerships. It's a single ownership. We view it as a single ownership. Now there's another slightly more arcane issue, which is this. Usually when you pay a machatzita shekel, there's an additional payment attached for processing fees and so on for the bank, which is called a kalamor. If you're paying a full shekel, then you normally wouldn't have to pay the kalabon because the kalabon is a changing fee to be able to buy a shekel with. The thing is, you can't get away from paying the kalabon by pulling shtick and getting together with another guy and say, okay, together we're going to pay a shekel. Then you pay two kalabons. But if you're paying for somebody else, so let's say you're paying for your kids or you're paying for a poor neighbor, then there's no charge. So then you're not viewed as two people getting together to pay. It's a single payment. So therefore, as long as daddy was paying the machatzis ha-shekel for the family, there was no charge of a kalabon. But now if two brothers get together, then they got to pay two kalabonos because it's just like two other people that would get together. Okay. Then we can use that as a perfect contrast. Because if they are partners, then they would be chayav in the kalabon, but they would be putter in the Ma'aser Behima. If they're not partners, and they're still in the estate, they're chayav in Ma'aser Behima, but they're putter in the kalabon. So we got a perfect, this kalabon is not to be confused with karibon. Karibon is not kalabon. Okay. So atemet, actually, mitz, enonikach bekesef maser, uposelot amikta. So the temet, up until the stage where it starts to ferment, fermented, cannot be purchased with kesef maser because it's water. But because it's water, it makes a mikvah pasul if the mikvah was chaser and three lugan of the temet falls into it. On the other hand, once it's fermented, now it's called wine. So now you can use kesef maser to buy it, and if a ton of it falls into mikvah, it won't make any difference. Even if the mikvah is chaser, it won't pasul the mikvah. Obviously, it doesn't kasher the mikvah, but it doesn't pasul the mikvah. You can keep adding the water, that rainwater, to the mikvah. Another case where stages are different is achim hashutafim. Now, they view themselves as partners, but there's two ways to be partners. They could be partners because they never split the estate, or they could be partners because they created a partnership after splitting the estate. Therefore, kishechayavim bekalabon, if they're a real partnership instead of an estate, then if they are chayav to pay a kalabon, by definition, any partners would be just like two people. So then they would be potter from Ma'aser Behima because Ma'aser Behima is only chayav for an individual and not, it says, yeah, loch. It's dafka to you, not shutafut, an individual. But on the other hand, if they're chayav rather from Ma'aser Behima, why would that be? Because they're not a partnership. How can they not be a partnership? They never split the estate. Then they're patur mina kalabon. So here we're very clear cut, a juxtaposition of states. And tomorrow we'll get into a little bit more of the details of making temet. Omrali Ravana Barava La Rava, Yekli Keres, Vitamin Migabo, Bikabo Homer. Umar Kolakelim Shein Vitamin Aviran, are nonetheless Vitamin Migaban. So Kli Keres, which is even Vitamin Aviro, Koshikain, it should be Vitamin Migabo. Omar Krova Kolkli Patuach, Asher Ein Samit Patil Alav. Now, obviously, Klicheres, because that's the only place the Torah is talking about Tocho. Only then is it Tame. But Yesh Samit Patil Alav, it's Tahar. Okay, so then let's reverse it. You call a keli metame miavira mikavachomer. If a Klicheres, shene metame migabo, is metame miaviro, call a kelim shem mitamin migaban. Eno din shemitamin meaviran, amakro tocho, tocho shel zeh, lo tocho shel acher. Wait a minute, you used up your tochos, buddy. Ani tocho hadarshino. I got four. That's only two. This is the third. Arba tocho k'tive. Because you really have a tocho toch, tocho toch. Cha the gufe, cha the gzereshova, v'cha the tocho shel zeh, v'lo tocho shel acher. And my biggie is tocho v'lo toch tocho, which means that filu klishetev is matzil. Okay, so now let's separate out the issues of the how from the where. And let's say that lo yu kol hakele metami migaban at all. Elami tocham. Yes, 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 I'll be a bit again, but I'm talking about the where now. Mikav v'chomer. If a klicheres, that's even metame from a space, is in, not metame migabo. So kol hakelim shein metame me'aviran, eid odin shein metame migaban, omar kro v'chol kli patuach asher ein samit patil alav tamei hu. Hai hu dechi ein samit patil alav tamei, but can be saved by yesh samit patil alav tahor because its outside is insensitive. Or kol hakelim, Bein sheyesh samit patil aleihem, bein sheim samit patil aleihem, mitam in. Tohor bekli yetz tamei bekli matachot, tohor bekli matachot, tamei bekli yetz. Tan rabban, gomekli yetz mitamin, but pshutehem tohorin. Gomekli matachot tohorin, but pshutehem tamein. Nimtza tohor bekli yetz tamei bekli matachot, tohor bekli matachot, tamei bekli yetz. Ve'elohim gomei kli eitz, kol she'atid lashuf, l'shabetz, l'garer, l'charkev, l'tiach betunis, m'chusar kein, o ogen, o ozen, tamei, m'chusar chatita tohor, m'chusar chatita, that's not even a kli, pshita, no, I mean, it has chatita, but it's m'chusar chatita, let's say, chok kapiza bekava. Ve'elohim gomei kli matachot, kol shatid lashuf l'shabetz l'karer l'charker l'akish b'kurnes m'chusar keno ogen o'ozen. All these things are viewed as unfinished and therefore tahor. But m'chusar kisui, that's a different kli, and then it's still tameh. But what's the difference between eitz and matachot? Ma'ashani, ma'ashlahani. Rabbi Yochanan says, hoyo v'lechavod asuyin, we answer to a higher standard. Rav Nachman hovad ameim yikarim, the guys are going to sell until he's finished. My beinayu, ike beinayu kli etzem. The other Rav Nachman, the time of the other Rav Nachman, kli etzem ki kli matachot domo. What? Mechlad the kli etzem kapel tumo? Where does that come from? In the Tanya of Yeshua ben Osher of Yochanan ben Broka Omer, man Talmud Omar vechol maase izim titchatahu. That's lavid davar abba min haizim, like min hakarnayim, min hatlafayim, and shar bein mavachai has the same minayim. Tamalam v'chol ma'ase izim. Im kei matam lomar izim. Prat la'ofot. Hakayav b'shkedim amarim, patur b'metukim. Hakayav b'metukim, patur b'marim. Tan rabbanu, shkedim amarim k'tanim chayavim gdolim pturim. Metukim gdolim chayavim k'tanim pturim. Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Shum Aviv, ze v'ze liftor. V'amila ze v'ze l'chiyuv. Omer Rabbi Lo, Hora, Rabbi Chanina, B'tzipore, Kedivre, Omer Zevezel Liftur. Lamadi Omer Zevezel Lechiyuv. What good are the Gedolim, according to Rashi, of the Morim? According to Tosfos, obviously the Morim, that's what we mean. Lamai Chazu, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Hoel V'yachol Matkan Al Yedei Ha'ur. Hatemet Hachloich Mitz Eino Nikach Bekesef Maser Uposelot Habikva. Mishich Mitz Nikach Bekesef Maser Veino Uposelot Habikva. Ha'achim ha'shutafim kishichayavim be'kalabon, peturim ima'aser be'ima, כשחייבים במעשר בהמה, פטורים מן הקלבון.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambient, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
We're holding today on Daf Chof Hei Yom and Aleph. We're continuing with the series of Mishnayos that refer to a state of one thing, which is the opposite of another, and which they're mutually exclusive. So the thing we've been talking about now is the difference between a Kli Cheres and a Kli Shetef, or what we call in the Mishnah Kol HaKelim. Kli Shetef, by the way, the word Kli Shetef means a Kli that can be Nishtaf, meaning you can put it into a mikveh and it'll become Tahar, as opposed to Kli Cheres, which can never become Tahar in a mikveh. In any event, we contrasted them completely. So as we said that the Kli Cheres is not Mekabel Tumah at all from the outside. It's only Mekabel Tumah from the inside. And Masha'in claimed the Kli Shetef is Mekabel Tumah from its outside. Furthermore, the Kli Cheres is Mekabel Tumah from Avir alone. And the means doesn't even have Negiah. Masha'in claimed the Kli Shetef is Dafke B'Negiah. The last thing we learned was that the Torah made a comparison between the Tocho, Kol Asher Yipom B'Tocho, is talking about falling into, and then Kol Asher B'Tocho Yitma is referring to what occurs to that which is inside. So one is talking about being Metame, the Kli being Metame, what's inside, and one is talking about the Kli being Mekabatum, but from what falls inside it. In both cases it uses the same word tocho, being as it's a given that whatever foodstuff is inside is tame, even including seeds, mustard seeds. It must be, the only way that can be makabel tumah is because of the fact of being in the space of the Kli Cheres. There's no way by touching a Kli Cheres that it could convey tumah all the way through the seeds. The most it could do was be matame the layer of seed that's actually touching it.
Is there a reason why
the Chazal's brought us
in
conflict? It's because of tiny seeds. We're just using the extreme. And so you see from there that it's the space itself that certainly will give over tumah from the Kli Cheres, and because of the fact that the Torah compares with Tocho to Tocho, the falling into the Kli Cheres, to the being Metame of the Kli Cheres being Metame others. And again, one is called Metame. The other one to be makabel to him is called mitame. It is like you would say today with a tough mitame. In the Aramaic Hebrew, we use mitame with a yud. So, for the Torah told us that it's the same. So now we know that a Kli Cheres is makabel to him miaviro, and that it's mitame miaviro. Today we're up to Daf Chof Hei Yom and Aleph, the first line. Omale Revata Bar Ava L'Rava. Given these facts in the Pasuk, why don't we take another step and make a Kal Vachomer and say that Yehei Kli Cheres mitamei, let it be makabel tumah migabo, from its back, meaning it doesn't have to be in the airspace. The truth is that a Kli Cheres is mitamei anyway, but once it's tamei, it's going to be mitamei everywhere, not only mitamei mehaviro. But let it be makabel tumah migabo mikal vachomer. If kol hakelim she'in mitamim ma'aviram mitamim megaba. Look, other kelim are not makabel tumah from airspace. And nonetheless, they are makabel tumah through touching the back of the Kli. So, Kli Cheres mitamei ma'aviro. If a Kli Cheres is makabel tumah from something tamei in its airspace, eino din sheyitamei migabo, shall it not also be makabel tumah from touching it on its backside, and it's on the side that normally you would hold a Kli? Therefore, the Pasuk has to make it clear that that isn't the case in the sugya of Tumas Meis. And you have an interesting halacha over there, and it's the Farish in the Pasuk. If a Meis dies inside of an oath, everything in that oath is tame. But if you have the Kli, which is open, and it has over it a tight-fitting cover, then that Kli is not makabel tumah. Okay? Now that's called V'chol Kli Patuach. Asher ein samit patil alav itma. So every open Kli which has no tight fitting cover on it That kli will become tummy. Now, first of all, what kli are we talking about over here? I mean, the only kli in which we have a concern as to whether it's open or not is a kli cheres. As everything else, I mean, it's being open is a non-issue. So, therefore, I have to first say, Ezer kli shtumatoko demet lepitcho. In other words, where is there a kli that the Torah is makbid on the question of whether it's open? That is to say, a kli in which the Torah has already defined that tumah enters through its open part rather than any other part. That's a kli cheres. Okay? Now, it's saying that if there's no tzamit patil alav, only then, who to tame? But if there is a tzamit patil alav, if there's a tight fitting cover on it, it's tahar. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that the tumah in the building that comes into contact with the outside of the kli cheres is not mitameh, and that the kli cheres can only be mitameh if it's open so that there's room for the tumah in the building to get into the kli, which proves that a kli cheres is not mitabel tumah from the outside at all. Okay, so now that's a given. Now, if that's a given, why don't we go back and take a look at kli sheta and say, you call a kli mitamin me'abiram mikabel tumah. Well, then, isn't it obvious that a metal frying pan, for instance, would be makabel tumah by having something in its airspace? That's tameh. Is that a kabel tumah? If a kli cheres, which is so stubborn about being makabel tumah, it won't be makabel tumah from its outside, but nonetheless, apparently the primary way of conveying tumah is by having something in the airspace of a kli. So it's mitameh mi'aviram, it's makabel tumah mi'aviram. So certainly, kol hakelim, which are even mitamim, they even are mekabel tumah migabal from the outside of the kli. Eino din shem mitamim miaviram. For sure, something is in their airspace. It should certainly transfer tumah without having to touch the kli. How do you know that that isn't so? Omar kra. Therefore, says the pasuk beferish tocho. Tocho means tocho shel ze, v'lo tocho shel acher. Kol asher yipol l'tocho means only things which fall into this kli's inside will be able to be matameh. But if they would fall into another kli's inside without touching, they would not be able to be matameh. So by using that extra vav, tocho, it's telling us this is a unique case. It cannot be applied to other kaling. Now wait a second. Hani tocho hadarshino. You used the posik tocho, didn't you? You said the tocho that the kli is mitameh even chardal is a raya that we're talking about space and not touching, right? Then you said the tocho that is talking about being makabel tumah, so you pull lit tocho, that tocho, there is a gzera shavet. They told me that just like the tocho that is mitameh is mitame without touching, it's in the airspace, so too the tocho that is mitame the kli, where it's mitame, is also without touching. So I need that pasuk. I can't use that pasuk that I'm using for this gzera shava to tell me now that tocho is a specific case for kli cheres that cannot be extrapolated with a kal vachomer to kli sheta. Says the Gemara, well, you're missing the point over here. We're dashing the vav. It was essentially arba'a tocho. If you look at it, well, we have to analyze it. It says tocho twice. Once in being makabel tumah, where it's talking about things that are tamei, where it says v'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem litocho, and one in terms of being mitame, where it says kol asher betocho yitma. Correct? Now, each one of those tochos could have been written toch instead of just tocho. Okay, so that gives us four drushes, basically. So we have tocho, toch, tocho, toch. Now, chabagufe, obviously we need that first one to tell me the din that there is such thing as avir, and that's the one about the being matame, the afilu male chardal. Alright, so that's a given. Then we had one comes to tell me the gzereshava that we darshened yesterday. B'chad the gzereshava, that the same thing is true of being makabel tuma, just like it's matame afilu male chardal, without coming into touch with it, so too is a mekabel tumah from something which is in the airspace without even coming into touch with it. Okay, that's two. Now, we just darshan the extra vav to tell me that there where it says that it's mekabel tumah from its airspace is tocho. Tocho shel zeh, velo tocho shel acher. That tells me that you can't learn the din of kol hakelim from a kal vachomer and say that certainly a metal frying pan should be able to be a kal vachomer from a teres space, that's a no-go, because the Torah specifies tocho shel zev, the klicheres, v'lo tocho shel acher. What is the last tocho? Which is the tocho of being mitame, tocho. What is that? That's tocho v'lo tocho. In other words, the space is defined literally as space, and each space is local. So if you have another kli inside, you have one kli inside of another kli, you could say, well, okay, extend, and the top of the inside kli extends above the top of the outer kli, so that there's no mixing, so to speak. There's one space that doesn't subsume the other. We can't look at the other kli as being entirely part of the space that's defined by the outside kli, because it's jutting up outside of that kli, correct? So now the question is, does each kli define a separate space? Yes, tocho v'lo toch tocho. So if there's a separate space that's defined inside of it, then let's say we have some kind of foodstuff in the inner kli. We lower the inner kli, leaving its outside as a tube sticking up the opening of the outer kli, and we put the inner kli into the outer kli. The food that's inside the inner kli is not considered to be in the space defined by the outer kli. It's in the space defined by the inner kli. Now, there's some very important implications of that. Because if the outer kli were made out of metal, your first reaction would be to say, so, forget about space. The metal was makabel tuma from being in the airspace of the kli charis. And therefore, it automatically will be matami what's inside of it, so even though it's not in the same space. Lamaisa, the inside kli, was makabel tuma. From here, we learn a very important halacha, which is that a kli, in fact, will not be makabel tuma from anything but an ava tuma. There's a number of very important lessons we learn here. Okay, because what it's saying over here is that no kli inside of another kli, as long as it's not mixed air spaces, a kli inside of another kli, even if the inner kli, which is inside the kli charis, is made out of metal, what's inside of that inner kli remains tar. Now, how do you explain that? The only way you can explain this is by saying that the only issue here is space and not touching. Now, why isn't touching an issue? Why, if there's food inside the kli charis, will it become tame? But if there's a kli inside of the kli charis, the kli will not become tame. How do you explain that? Must be that a kli will not be makabel tuma from anything less than an ava tuma. So now you must know a kli can be makabel tuma from an ava tuma, but it itself becomes a rishon tuma.
The kli charis itself.
Kli charis will never be an ava tuma.
Right,
it cannot be an ava tuma. It can only be a rishon tuma. Now, the question, however, arises, what happens if there's still a sheretz inside this airspace of the kli charis? Which is what the pasuk is talking about also, right? Something falls into the kli charis, kol asher b'tocho yitma. You could have looked at it as the same way you look at tumas oel with a mace. Basically, the tuma of the mace fills the entire area. Anything that is in this building is being touched by a mace, which is just what we learned out from Tzomit Pasil on the kli charis. So you might have thought the same thing is true of space as defined in the inside of a kli, that the entire inside of the kli is filled with sheretz. Ah, but if that were true, then there'd be no possible way of saying tocho v'lo toch tocho. Because if the sheretz filled the entire inside of the kli, then the kli that I'm inserting into its airspace is touching a sheretz. Why isn't it being makabel tuma? How is it saving tuma from the food inside of it, from which we learn another very important idea? And that is that when a kli charis is metami from its airspace, it's not that the tuma fills its airspace, it's that the kli charis can be makabel tuma from something in its space, period. It's now able to transfer tuma also in the same fashion, but it does not create a space filled with tuma. It's purely a question of transferring tuma into and out of the kli charis, not defining now a space called a tame space the way a tumas oel would be. So that you see how many halachas we learn just from the fact that it says this extra vav in the parsha of being metame. So now, the other one is tocha v'lo tocha v'afilu kli shetef, even kli shetef, meaning other kalim that are have tahira b'mikveh and are mekabel tuma from the outside, even they will not become tame, and they will be matzio. It should say afilu kli shetef matzio will be matzio the earthlim that are inside of them. Now that that's a given, says the Gemara, the lo yukol hakelim mitani migaban ela mitochan uvenegiyah. So why don't we go and now redefine how other kelim are mekabel tuma? Because we could say, look, if a kli cheres, which has the absolutely unique attribute of being able to be mekabel tuma through its airspace, nonetheless, you cannot be metame it from the outside. You can only be metame it from the inside. Other kelim, fine. Other kelim can't be mekabel tuma from an airspace at all, given. I understand that. You have to touch. But where should you have to touch a metal frying pan in order to be metamia? Certainly only from the inside. Because even the kli, which is makabel tuma through airspace, is only on the inside airspace. So if we have a kli, which is makabel tuma, but again, it won't help to put it in its airspace. But where is that nagia going to be effective? Only on the inside, which is more sensitive to tuma, clearly, from the story of Clicurus. I see that, you see. The outside being insensitive to tumor. So in a ding she'in mitamim megaban. So certainly the halacha should be over here that these kolakad she'in mitamim in a ding she'in mitamim megaban should not be makabel from the outside. Or makro. Therefore, I also looking back once again into the parsha of tubas oil. It's fine. I'm okay. Dear President, come back to us. No? It's hard to reach. It's fine. I'm okay.
Niagara Falls.
That was very close, Sir President. Thank you. That's enough. Thank you. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaro. So therefore, what does it say back again by Tumas Oyel? V'chol keli patuach, asher ein tzamid patir alav tamei hu. What is it saying? This kli, and only this kli, is tamei in this fashion. In other words, hai hu d'fi ein tzamid patir alav tamei hayesh tzamid patir alav tahor. This is the only kli, meaning kli cheres, to which a tzamit pasil is going to make any difference. But if it's another type of kli, namely a kli shetef, a tzamit pasil will not make a difference. Why won't it make a difference? If any kli could be makabel tuma only from its inside, so then if it's covered, the tuma won't hit its inside. Therefore, the Torah is telling you the only time you have to worry about whether there's a tzamit pasil or not is a kli cheres. You now know that a kli shetef, that won't help you to have a tzamit pasul on it, it's going to become tummy one way or the other because it's touching the tumas meis in that house. Notice how Barnea has frozen into his speaking on the telephone position. He doesn't even have a phone. But he's still talking on it, even in his sleep. That's beautiful.
In a bed, mate.
It will be tamei even if it's covered.
Right.
So where was the mekabel tuma? From its outside. So if it doesn't help to cover it. Only a kli patuach, meaning the type of kli in which the opening has been predefined in the Torah as being central, that is a kli cheres, that kli, it makes a difference whether it's covered or not. But other kelim doesn't make a difference. Take a look how many beautiful halachas we learn just from the one letter over here. And the difference is between the word patuah and non patuah. It's a wonderful, wonderful sugya. This is one of the most beautiful drushes that I think in all the midrash is the toch of toch. Toch of toch, toch of toch. Ah, fabulous.
This is more clear than some of the others that we drush. You have to really get a drush and get out of it.
Yeah, okay. Well, here it's nice and clear. Okay. Ready?
Okay.
Tahor b'kli eitz, tamei b'kli matachot. Tahor b'kli matachot, tamei b'kli eitz. Another one of these examples of things, two sets that are interrelated but are opposites of each other, is the din of tumas kli eitz versus the din of tumas kli matachot. Now the truth is that these two sets have completely different mekoros in the Torah, because the halacha of a kli eitz being tamei at all actually comes from the comparison to sak. Over there it says mikol kli eitz or beged or osak. So eitz, beged or osak is written together in the parsha of tuma. Masha enkein, the din of tumas matechet is learned from this, the parsha of kli midyan, where over there it talks about the kesev and the zahav and the bedil and so on and so forth. So that they come from different places in the Torah. Right? One is a vayikra oriented tuma, it's nageya sarat and so on, and one is a bamidbar oriented tuma, which is nageya all the other tumas that were found in bamidbar, and the differences because of that are also very important in terms of how they're mekabel tuma. Because since a kli eitz is compared to a kli sak, that means that it has to have a container. It's like a sack. The point of the container is that it can be filled. It's a kli to be filled and moved around. That teaches us that the kli eitz on the discussion also needs to be able to be filled and to be moved around. Which means that if you have a kli eitz, even though it's a functional tool, and in terms of the general sense of kli, it would certainly fill the requirements of a kli, it won't be makabel tuma if it isn't being used as a beit kibul. It has to have a place to be makabel something. That's not true about a kli matechet. Nowhere does it indicate that the concept of a kli would be limited to having some type of container space in it. Now the opposite distinction we will see is really a svara, based on what is considered to be the completion of the tool-like aspect. And really what we assume is that something that is valuable, or we'll see if there's a machlokas about this in the Gemara, or something that is looked at as being a sophisticated kli, in that it's something you would use in sophisticated circumstances as opposed to just the logistics of getting the soup into your mouth, it's supposed to look fancy and so on. There's a difference between them also in that the unsophisticated kli, the primitive kli, which is the kli eitz, it doesn't really matter whether it's been prettified or completed to the ultimate extent. As long as it's usable the way a sack would be usable. It's got a base kibul and it's usable. If you're using it for that, it's makabel to him, even though you could still pretty it and intend to still pretty it. Mashenken, when you're talking about a kli matechet, so long as it's not completed as per plan, it's not considered to be a complete kli. And therefore, as the Brice explains, Tan Rabbanan, golmei kli eitz tmeim. So primitive, unformed, the golem of a kli eitz is tmei. Whereas pshutehem, where it's, pshutehem means pashut, that is, it's smooth, it doesn't have a base kibul, as opposed to something which has a base kibul. I must warn you that there's a whole different category of kli, which is called tashmishe adam, which doesn't come under the idea of kli eitz specifically. We've actually discussed this a little bit before when we were talking about in Menachos. We're talking about the tumah of the shulchan, right? So, but let's ignore that and pretend that we only have to worry about the raw din of kli eitz. So pshutehem, if it doesn't have any base kibul, would be tohar. Whereas by kli matachot, a golem, an uncompleted kli matachet, we'll see exactly what this would be, is tohar. Whereas even though it's pashut, but it's complete, a nice fork would be tamei. Nimtza tohar b'kli eitz tamei b'kli matachot, and tohar b'kli matachot tamei b'kli eitz. What do we mean by the word golem? The Elohim golmei kli eitz, kosha atid lashuf, anything that you are going to end up sandpapering, but haven't yet sandpapered. Now, Tosis points out that there's two levels of sandpapering. There's number 2 sandpaper and there's number 0 sandpaper. In other words, anything that needs to be sandpapered to make it usable, so that you don't get splinters from it, that of course is not, that's still considered to be not even gomekli, it's unfinished. It brings a riot to that. What we're talking about over here is fancy sandpapering, to bring out the buff in it, and to make it look really pretty. And there's a lot of fun doing these, you know, making these cliates and turning them into that nice china. It's a hobby nowadays. A lot of people do buy these little tools, and you can make all kinds of, you know, little kalim. And the nicer they're finished, you know, the more you can show them off.
Carl Golden was excellent at that.
Who's that?
Carl Golden in Kerem. Really? The Stenders, like,
Stenders is not. That's carpentry. So whatever you're going to be mishakshef. Lashuf is to be mishakshef. Mishabetz is to put on mishbetzot. Now, yeah, this you often find on little jewelry boxes and so on. You stud them. What do you call them? You know, you put them
in.
Huh? No, not in lay. You know, you take these tacks and they have pretty tops and you're
like the brass tacks.
Yeah. What are they called? Yeah. You know, you make decorations with tacks. There's a word for it. Oh, it's not quilted, but. Okay, a lot of the women's stuff have these decorative tacks around them, but they're decorative. They don't change the fact that it's a kli with a beit kibul in it. So we're going to be mishabet. So I think we have mishbetzot zahav, and we're setting a stone for the idea of mishbetzot. Or you're going to be migarer this thing. You're going to use it. You're going to use a plane on it to make it smoother. Or lecharech kev, you're going to go and make kirkuv is the same idea, except that it's deeper. It's to make curves in it, to give it a curved look.
Like to router it.
Yeah, latiach betunis, or over here tunis is what we call tuna fish. It's the sandpaper with the skin of a fish, which was very good for really smoothing down. Or mechuser kan, it's missing a base. You can still use it, but it doesn't have its base that supports it. Or it's missing a nice ogen to it. We have a nice pretty rim around it, but it's not needed. Or it's missing its handle, it doesn't have an ozen yet. In all of these cases, it's tummy, because as a primitive kli, it's usable as is. If it's mechuser chatita, if you haven't yet hollowed it out, so it doesn't have a beit kibul, then it's tohar. Now, obviously, what are you talking about? Mechuser chatita pshita. I mean, that's what it means to pshuta kli. No. What I mean is, lo tzricha dechaka, piece of the kaba. Take a big piece of wood, which I intend to use for a kav measurement, and instead, and I'm in the process of hollowing it out, and instead, 3/4 of the way through, I say, okay, I'm tired. Right now it holds a kapiza. So it holds out the 3/4 of a kav. But since I intend to have a full kav, 4 lugin, and now it only has 3 lugin, it's not completed yet. That's the Kiddush. That's b'chuser chatita. This piece of wood is big enough to hold a kav, and it's now only holding 3 lugin. Gomekli matachot would be kosha atid lashuf, whatever I'm going to now smooth down with a metal kli, or lishabet over here. I put in pretty, you know, the decorations on, what do you call that on the silver work? Those little filigrees or inlays, either one. Or legarer, which is legarer, it's basically the same word as lashuf for wood. You use legarer in metal. Or lahakish, lekarcher, same idea. Lahakish pakurnis would be to hammer out places where it's been bent in. Mukhusar kan, it's missing the bottom or ogen or a decorative rim around it. Ozen, or it's missing a handle. In all these cases, it would be tahar because it's not completed. Mukhusar kisui, if it doesn't have a top, that doesn't matter. That's still tummy. Now, Maishnahani, why are we making this distinction between kliyates and kli matachot when it comes to completion? Rabbi Yochanan says, since these metal kelim are meant for more decorative purposes, something that you show off with, it's got to be complete. Whereas Rabbi Nachman says, when you're putting a lot of money into something, it's got to be perfect. And if it's not going to be sellable as is, and it's not considered yet to be finished. Maybe now the difference between those two approaches, you can have kli etzem. But if you've got bone kalim, bone kalim are expensive, but they're not things that you show off with. You don't sell them for money. They're more sophisticated kalim, lighter and so on. But they're not pretty. I'm not talking about bone china.
Ivory,
we're going to bring a riot about ivory in a moment. Whereas it actually brings a riot to ivory from that.
Then heirloom issue?
No, the difference is it doesn't sold because it's completed. But it isn't used, I'm saying, as a show off thing.
There's no one yet to love with regard to it being a bone.
Oh, the other of Nachman is the time, eh? This is Rav Nachman Lashitasa. Domer Rav Nachman Kli Etzem to Kli Matachot Domer. That Kli Etzem have the same din of Kli Matachot. And it's not in the Makapa Tuma, but they're defined in their Tuma in exactly the same way. And why is that? Because they're expensive. And according to Rav Nachman, the issue is expense. In other words, if you're going to put in money, you put in money into something that's completed. And if it's not yet ready to go, you don't view it as something that would be worthwhile to put money into. Now, wait, are you saying that according to Rav Nachman, the Chalal, the Kli Etzem, the Kapli Tuma, Tosafot points out that this question means midiraisa. I mean, everybody agrees that Kli Etzem is a Kapli Tuma. I mean, it says Beferish and Kalim that Kli Etzem is a Pshutayim Taurinu, the Kapli Tuma. The question over here is, does Rav Nachman hold that it has a din midiraisa being the Kapli Tuma? You're saying it's Kli Matachot Ami. Indeed, he does hold that, the Tanya. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar, V'chol Ma'asei Izim Titchata'u. What do you really say? Anything that is made now from a goat. That means, V'havi Davar Haba Min HaIzim. Things that would come from the Izim besides issues of skin, which are discussed separately, Kli'or. So what would that be? Things that you would make out of horn? So Min HaKarnayim? Or Min HaTlafayim? This is viewed as etzem, essentially. It was the hard parts of the animal. And are we talking about Dafkin? Sharbeim of a chayim, and how about an elephant tusk? How about that? Talmud lomar, v'chol maaseh. And then why specify izim? You came out talmud lomar izim. Prat le'ofot. If you make something out of Rashi learns griffin nails, which might have been popular in Hogwarts, actually. But nonetheless, that's not considered to be a kli. It has to be dafka from an animal of some kind. The next case that we have that contrasts the two issues in a way that the two sets are similar but mirror images of each other are Lagabi v'chiyav of Maaser on Shkedim. Now, there are two different subspecies of Shkedim. One is called the Shkedim Hamarim, and one is called the Shkerim Hamitukim. You notice that the word Marim is even expressed in Amaret Omar. And that's the Latin name for Shkedim, as in Marirus. So that the two species would be the bitter and the sweet Shaked. What would be called Chayev in the bitter shaked would be potter for the sweet shaked. What would be chayiv in meiser for the sweet shaked? Of course, you only chayiv in meiser when something is a foodstuff that has been now completed. Would be potter in the marim, meaning what? Says the Braisa Tana Rabbanan. Shkedim ha-marim, the species called the bitter shaked, the ktanim, the small ones, before it's grown completely, it's still not quite as bitter as it is as the mature fruit, and therefore it's edible. So only the ktanim are chayavim, but the gdolim would be piturim. Masha'enken the shkedim hamitukim, again, not to be confused with the particular shaked that you're eating, the species, the shaked hamatok, the gdolim are chayavim, only the large ones would be chayav, the ktanim are immature, and they're pturim because that's not the way people eat them. They wait until they're grown completely. Why eat a small shaked? And therefore they're pater from meiser if you eat them like that. Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Aviv. Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi quotes Rabbi Yossi as saying, Ze veze liftor, that the katan is always patur. In other words, if it's a member of the bitter family, it's patur, even though it's small. If it's a member of the matok family, it's certainly patur if it's small. And there's another man, the Omer, the Amr law, there's another man, the Omer, who says that actually what he said was that ze veze lichiyuv, that both are chayav, the gdolim, are also chayav. Whether they're marim, mitukim, of course they're chayav, but even the marim are chayav. And I was going to ask in a moment, why would the gdolim marim be chayav? Omar Rabbi Yila, hora Rabbi Chanina b'tzipori, tidibri Omer ze veze liftor. Actually, Rabbi Chanina paskin lahalok and tzipori, halacha lemaisa, that all types of the eshaked hagadol would be hakatan would be potter. Uleman diomer zevaz el chiyuv gedolim lemaichasim. If you say both are chayev, what's the use of an inedible shaked hamar? Omer Rabbi Yochanan hoyel viachul lematkana yedei haur. Since if you roast them long enough, they become edible. Then even though it's unroasted, but this is considered to be the type of fruit that is chayav and meiser, fine, it has to be prepared. That doesn't matter. Now Tosfos argues on this whole approach. The approach I just gave you was Rashi's approach about the zev and zeh, meaning the cotton in both species and the gadol in both species. Tosfos learned zev and zeh leptur means that if you're talking about the marim species, both are liftur, whether they're gadol or they're cotton. The gadol is potter because it's too bitter, and the cotton is potter because it's immature. So even though you can get it down, people don't eat it. I mean, why, if it's mar, so then it would be more considered to be a kli than the matok with the cotton. It's not the derech to eat, it's not the derech to eat. And he argues on Rashi, I should say bitterly, on Rashi, because it shows that's not the derech to Gemara. It doesn't fit the sigur properly, because then it would be going in two different directions. Because when he says zeh v'zeh leptur, what he's talking about is the ktanim, whether they're marim or mitukim. And if he's talking about zeh v'zeh lechiyuv, he's talking about the gedolim, which would be marim or mitukim. And therefore, it's for completely different reasons. It's very strange. Furthermore, Itainis, it says the thing about gedolim lamai chazim. According to Rashi, it would say gedolim marim lamai chazim. According to me, it's talking about the marim. Your thing says zeh v'zeh lechiyuv. So you're saying, what? What is the gedolim good for? According to Rashi, you don't say, what is the gedolim good for? Say, what is the gedolim marim, since you're talking about across both species. Okay. That they're referring. No, the Mishnah is fine. You see, it's on the Braisa that they're arguing. What's the zeh v'zeh mean? Zeh v'zeh, the katan in both, the gadol, or zeh v'zeh of the one that I said was chayev, you're saying is potter? Or the zeh v'zeh of the one I'm saying is potter, you're saying is chayev?
The Mishnah says that.
The Mishnah is the same in Drashi and Tosfos. Mishnah is the same Pirush. That's not the question. The question is, what does Zev Zev refer to in the Braisa, according to the way Rav Yossi is being quoted? Now, we're about to make a transition in the next Mishnah, before we hear about how holy it is. We're about to make a transition. Up until now, we've spoken about two different sets which have opposite criteria. Now we're going to talk about the same set which has various stages that yield opposite results. So it's similar to what we've been talking about up till now, but it's a slight shift. It's extending the overall pattern of the Mishnah. Hatemet. Achelo hichmitz enonikach b'kesev ma'aser. Now we know the Torah says that you're allowed to use the kesev ma'aser v'natata kesev b'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. And then it talks about you can buy whatever you'd like. You buy wine with it, you buy food with it, you can buy shlomim with it, but you can't use it to buy water. So if you have something which has a din of my of yayin, then you can use kesev ma'aser. If you have something that it has no din of wine and it's still watery, then you can't use kesev ma'aser. On the other hand, you have a different set of criteria when it comes to what is the halacha of a mikveh. A mikveh that is chaser and hasn't yet been filled up with the arboim lug that's necessary. So if that mikveh is chaser, something, and now shlosha lugim of my shlosha lugim of mayim she'uvim fall into that mikveh is forever ruined. Once the mikveh was filled, and then mayim she'uvim fall into it, that doesn't bother. But over there, if water falls into a mikveh, yes, it's mayim she'uvim. But if wine falls into a mikveh, we'll not pass of it. I mean, it won't make it kosher, obviously. But I can still fill it up with its missing mayim, and I'll make it kosher. So it's the criteria for the chiyav and meiser will be the opposite for the psul when it comes to the mikveh. So therefore we say like this, ha-temed. Achelo yichmitz. Temed, there's two types of temed. Rashi learns that what we're referring to over here is water that is put on top of a grape leftovers, and we put them on top of the shells and the seed. Mm-hmm. No, not as we haven't used this for making wine yet. But we do have leftover grapes. It'd be whatever people spit out the grapes. It's only when and we're using. They haven't fermented. We put water on top of this grape, these grape remnants. It picks up some of the sugars of the grape and so on, and you can leave it to ferment. Tosfos learns the temet in this case is talking about davka on lees. And he points out that there are differences in halacha between the two, even though you can make raisin wine in this way, and it's a type of temet. But what we're talking about is basically badatz wine. You take the leftovers of what is after wine has been made. And they sell this stuff to, you know, in other words, the Golan winery sells all of their leftover lees to these small wineries where they mix it with water, let it ferment, and then they add more spirit besides the other things they add, the sugars and so on. But they add the spirit stuff, what they call spirit alcohol, and sell it as wine. Actually, it's temet. That's the whole issue where Rav Avadya Yosef says you can't make a geffen on it and so on. It's really a question of how to learn these sugyas.
Leaves are got there. Leftover grapes from wine process and other
stuff. Right. Whatever
stuff. That's what leaves mean. You mentioned
correct, that. Correct, yeah. Shmarim. So the temet, before it became fermented, it's water. And you cannot use it to be bought by kesef meiser. You can't use your kesef meiser to buy a bottle of meyeden. Uposel et hamikva. But because it is water, it's mayim shuvim, it will pass the mikvah. But misha hichmitz, once it's become fermented, now it is wine. We're going to see more what that means. It could have been fermented or actually did become fermented. It's a question of proportion, of how much wine. All these issues we'll come through tomorrow. Mishech mitz, once it becomes fermented, now it's wine, you can use kesef meiser to buy it. But, since it's wine, it won't pass the mikveh. So we have over here opposite criteria. What is useful for one is meaningless for the other. We have another interesting interrelationship, and that is the difference between partnership. Pooh, what a small loop. At least say the difference between partnership. Treading on dangerous grounds, your servant. You may be too slow to stop me from picking up the weapon at your waist. What constitutes partnership and what constitutes estate? The differences are that, let's say you have a number of brothers that have inherited an estate and they didn't split to define whose piece is which. That's not called a partnership. That is still called an estate. And the difference is that if you have a partnership, if one person will pay somebody else's, where he's not required to pay somebody else's shekel, and he goes ahead and pays someone else's shekel, he does not have to pay the kalabon. The kalabon was that extra charge, which would normally be the hechreya of the chatzi shekel, if you would pay it in order to cash a shekel, you pay your collarbone with it. So there, you would be potter. But if they are shutafim, if they are shutafim, then they're potter from meiser on their behemoths. But if they are an estate, they would be chayev. So in other words, whatever is chayev on the meiser behemoth would be potter on the collarbone. Would be chayev on the collarbone would be potter on the meiser behemoth. And therefore, it says ha'akin ha'shutafim. If you have brothers that are together in something, this does not mean the technical definition of shutafut. Kishechayavim bekalabon peturim imaser behemah. Once they're chayav near in the kalabon, then they're potter in maaser behemah. But the kishechayavim b'maaser behemah, once, however, they are chayav in maaser behemah, they would be potur min kalabon. Because, in other words, if they've become chayav in the kalabon, meaning what? That they split, and now they became again shutafim. So now you do have to pay the kalabon if you bring it in, because now each one is basically bringing in their own thing. The estate is bringing in. You have to pay the two kalabonot if you're going to use one shekel. Each one is worth a shekel plus two kalabons. On the other hand, however, and that's the kalabon, remember we had before, it's called the hachreya, that which makes the difference, the extra amount between a chatzi shekel and a shekel shalem. But if they're shutafim now, and they become once again shutafim, they're potter from ma'aser behema, because we darshan lach, yelach, velo shal shutafut. On the other hand, the tokai of a ma'aser behema, they're still an estate. They're not a shutafut. So there's one rishus over here, that one rishus, the estate, is chayiv a ma'aser behema. But in that case, they would be potur minakal abon, because over here, this is still the money of the estate in which we're paying, like a father paying for his children. A father paying for his children doesn't have to pay now the kalabonot, because it's not separate people. I'm paying for someone else, so to speak. Or the estate is paying for the two of them.
Two people have a herd of cattle, maybe.
Potter. That's right. It's a great idea.
It would seem
when
you have a herd of cattle,
there are many. Well, assuming it's a shutafut, yeah. Be better. All right, we'll get into this halacha b'ezras Hashem tomorrow.